Tonight's talk, as you probably know, is entitled Kind and Happy. Humans are a species which evolved to survive through cooperation. We need to be part of a group to survive. And those groups need its members to get along. So our biochemistry rewards us for feeling kind, and especially for doing kind acts. We have not, however, evolved beyond a powerful impulse to serve our own individual interests, sometimes at the expense of others. So these two sides of our nature are the angel and the devil on our shoulders. We determine how happy we are by which one we cultivate, kindness or self-interest. This is what Buddha realized and taught his students. What makes us unhappy is greed, hatred, and delusion. In other words, clinging to our own cravings and aversions. In acting out our attachments, we often make others unhappy too. Now, most people today believe that happiness depends on getting what we want, which means something we don't have now. It takes a really powerful willingness to consider a different way of seeing things and some introspection, like meditation, to realize that the real key to happiness lies within us in the present moment. Happiness is best served by letting go of attachment to material things. That attachment comes from a sense of ourselves as separate individual beings. Now, this image of ourselves as loners leads to frustration and conflict. But when we recognize how interconnected we are to others, then kindness flows naturally from the heart, and with it, an inner sense of our own well-being and joy. Because we have these genetic rewards for being kind and loving, but we also have this tendency to want what we want, even the most self-absorbed people can be kind occasionally. But we don't have to leave that to chance. We can practice with kindness and cultivate our sense of connection by practicing metta, loving kindness. And that word is a translation into English of what metta means. Might be awkward and ungainly. I thought it was at first, but that was almost 30 years ago. And now, loving kindness works for me in so many ways. It captures these two aspects of metta, love and kindness, and brings them together to mean a lot. I've often talked about metta as the guiding principle for how we live the Dharma. It is the foundation of the Eightfold Path. when we have a wise understanding of how self-centered clinging makes us unhappy, we will form the wise intention to avoid causing dukkha for ourselves and other beings. This principle of caring for the happiness of all beings, including ourselves, is acted out through the rest of the Eightfold Path, through our daily conduct and in our practice. So metta is both of the things expressed by the word loving kindness. There is a mental and an active aspect of it. The mental or emotional side of it is cultivated, well, mentally, through repetition of phrases or exercises that we can do, like really trying to find something we like about everyone we see for a period of time, like grocery shopping. There's a trick that I do when I'm mad at the way someone has upset me. Of course, I upset myself, but they do something that makes me do it. And I'm not able to immediately forgive them for this. So I'm going around about how angry I am, and I bring to mind someone I love, and that changes my mental gears so that I can stop feeding that resentment by thinking of it over and over. And then I can begin to think reasonably about how I want to deal with this event that's upset me. The active aspect of loving kindness is to act kind. And when we understand, and that's with a capital U, that suffering is caused by our own clinging, and form the intention to do what we can to make others happy, that intention brings us joy that's qualitatively different from worldly pleasures. We get a taste of this even if our kind action doesn't have the outcome that we were trying for. It's important to remember this because a lot can happen between our kind intention and the effect that our action has in the world. Even if we can't even execute our act of kindness, or we botch it, or something happens to change the outcome of what we do, we get to keep the joy of the intention. And that joy pays dividends because it incentivizes us to be kind more often, and that increases the joy in our lives. And unlike sensual pleasure, this joy depends only on our practice. So whenever you act out of a concern for another being's welfare and feel the joy of it, treasure that. If an act of kindness goes awry, let it be. Let go of any attachment to the outcome. Just act on a wise intention. And then harvest the happiness that comes with that. If you act on an unselfish attention, you'll know you have done your best. I learned how kindness makes us happy by volunteering in a hospice ward one day a week for over 3 years. I know I've mentioned this many times before. It's a big part of who I am as a Dharma teacher. When I entered that hospice ward, I paused each day as I entered and formed the intention that for the 5 hours I was going to be there, everything I did would be simply to serve others. I would not cling to any of my own preferences. That made my time there wonderfully free from dukkha. That in itself is a vacation. And it felt so magnificent whenever I saw the patients happy. That was sympathetic joy. And it felt even more wonderful to spend time acting on that intention of loving kindness. As I said before, it's just not guaranteed, and it wasn't then, that my actions would directly make the patients happy. There were so many other things affecting them. I could give someone the perfect neck rub, and they could still be miserable. Or I could hand someone a cup of tea that another volunteer had prepared and handed to me to take to the patient, who would then blissfully smile at me. Now, every day we volunteers would get together and talk about our experiences, and we understood that almost everything we did was as a team, and seldom really as individuals. And I noticed over time that it was definitely not helpful to me or anyone else for me to cling to being the cause of another's joy. And I have found this in relationships since then also. Why is it so important to strip craving from kindness? Well, that's the Dharma. It's not about being a wonderful altruist who does things for others even when they're contrary to our own interests. Wanting to be a wonderful person is self-interest, and it diminishes the joy of kindness. Doesn't make you a bad person. Just doesn't make you quite so happy. This diminishment is because that clinging pulls us away from seeing our connection to all beings, which kindness can do. That's where the power of kindness is. It does what evolution intended for us, turning people into cooperative groups and not just individuals. Other cultures really have those values in that order, but not so much this society. Kindness, aside from the science that has learned about lowered cholesterol and elevated oxytocin, the Buddha knew that kindness reveals our inner connection as a direct, visceral experience of anatta. Kindness gives us a glimpse of what Thich Nhat Hanh calls interbeing, the teaching of dependent co-arising. All that currently exists, including you, depends on everything else that has been and is now. We simply are not and cannot be separate or alone. It's delusion to believe that we are. And that delusion is the root cause of dukkha. It's irrelevant that the vast majority of people believe that we are separate and alone. Because the truth is that we do depend on all other beings. And what we do has an impact on all other beings. It's like a great web connecting us all. We are all one. There's an epiphany that some people call Satori, in which the mind opens directly to the reality of this. You can experience that visually or emotionally or some mix of perceptions. But it can happen in just a moment when you have simply stopped doing things and fully inhabit that moment. It's extremely powerful and joyous. I first experienced this in graduate school when I'd studied about Buddhism, but it was long before I started this practice. I had no clue what the experience was, except that it was wonderful. It isn't nirvana. Nirvana is the end of a process of uprooting our attachments. I've heard Satori compared to a view from the mountaintop. It lets us see where we've come from and where we're going. And it's joyful. I hope I've made that point. And a spark of this happens whenever we act on loving kindness. Becoming in that moment free of attachments with the intention just to make another being happy, however brief their happiness might be. Now, being kind to ourselves also has an element of this, even though the motives may be mixed. They're more likely to be. The kindest thing that you can do for yourself and others is to nurture your own kindness. It's pulled me out of plenty of emotional slumps. Also, we can practice with the way others are kind, whether it's toward ourselves or other beings. Let yourself be moved by it and savor that. It can bring tears to my eyes when I see kindness among others. And it happens among animals too. Even between members, maybe especially, I think, between members of different species. That's one of the big reasons why I love to watch documentaries about animal behavior. Beasts are not all savage. Please know that the practice of kindness is not another thing that you have to take on and fit into your already bulging list of practices that you want to do. It's just a part of your day. Opportunities for kindness abound. When I tear up after reading about a family or a cause that needs support, that's love. When that love in turn prompts me to action, that's kindness. That love softens and opens my heart, and then kindness can pour out. That's true rather literally. I actually feel a soothing warmth in my chest and a sensation of expansion right around my heart. And I could leave things at that and enjoy how happy those feelings of love and incipient kindness have made me feel. But the kindness that love triggers makes me want to reach out to other people, to other beings. It doesn't matter whether you call this motivation compassion or metta. There are four of the Brahma Viharas, and they're really just different aspects of this elemental experience that we have. When we feel a desire to help, this is the moment when we get to actually practice kindness. We can act in that moment or not. So the practice is simply choosing to act as often as we possibly can. I've found that it's best to act right away before that willingness fades. When I do make a call or a donation, something more tangible happens than just those moments of happiness that I've already had. As the intention to help comes into my mind, my body feels stronger and energized. As I physically move to get the phone or my checkbook, the connection that I felt with those people or that cause becomes a concrete interaction. And part of how my mind will work in the future. Part of my mental framework has been subtly changed by acting on kindness. There comes into being a bond between me and the people or other creatures that I'm trying to help. It's much more than a question of what they need and what I have. And it's all there in just doing something to help. It's like the strands of webs that turn a field at dawn into a glittering jewel. Those strands might be teeny tiny, but they're strong and they stick. Now, my days of marching and going to sit-ins or being on committees or giving speeches or going door to door, getting out the vote or driving voters to the polls, those days are over. I just can't physically do that anymore. But I do what I can when I see an opportunity to help individuals. or the planet as a whole. Not because I feel I ought to, but because it feels so good to give those bits of myself to all of us together. That's with hyphens in between. All of us together. Generosity is a part of the kindness that I'm talking about. And Donna is something that I definitely practice with constantly. It takes presence to receive what others have given me so freely, to pay each donation the same attention with which it was given, and to savor the feeling of gratitude with which I receive it. Sometimes, once I have taken your Donna into my possession, it's groceries. I haven't done the accounting, but I think most of the time it becomes my Donna to someone else. So that cycle of joy and grace continues. We are all endowed with this impulse to be kind. The more we savor this motivation and act on it mindfully, the more often it will come in the future, and with it, bring us greater understanding and joy. Thank you.